All right, they got her going now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight. Lord, we thank you that you're our God. Thank you, Lord, that we are blood-bought children of yours, Lord. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father. We ask and we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come in tonight and remove all kinds of darkness and any kind of darkness or hindrances in our lives, Lord. And we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night because we're going to allow you, Lord, to lead us. And as a matter of fact, we're going to allow you to lead us every day, all day long, every day, every minute. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us to be led by you. That's a great thing, Lord, because we know we're never wrong when we do that, when we allow you and we talk to you constantly. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Fill us up so much so, Lord, that there's nothing left but you in our hearts. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the gifts are going to be in operation tonight because you have taken that golden thread and you've woven it into all of our hearts and pulled it tight as we're all into one accord. And we thank you for an open heaven that when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you all the time. We're going to give you the glory for all the things that you have done for us, Lord. And all the things that you're going to do for us, Lord. I know that the days are coming when you're going to really bless your folks. And I thank you for it, Lord. Be with us tonight, Lord. Thank you for being with us and leading us. And thank you, Lord, for doing all the for answering all of our prayers in Jesus' name. And I command every hindering spirit out of here in Jesus' name. I command all the communications to be cleaned up. And no demonic activity whatsoever. And we thank you, Father, that everybody's going to have a good night tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, put a smile on our face and a skip in our walk because we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody not happy out there? If you ain't happy, raise your hand. Judy, I saw you raise your hands, girl. That's all right. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Adelina. Hey, sweetheart, how you doing there? You good-looking outfit, you. I'll tell you what, you got, they got you in the right place, right there in front of the camera. Glory to God. Where's David? Is he there?
Yeah, he's going to come soon.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, any prayer requests? I'll say this much. Today, I went outside and the sun was shining and we had a blue sky. I'm talking blue. I ain't talking no white streaks or nothing. I'm talking completely blue. No streaks, no nothing. I said, I'm going to pull that barbecue grill out and I'm going to fix me a hamburger. And I did. And it was good. I fixed me and David both one. I'm going to tell you something. It was the juices was just coming out my mouth and I was eating that thing. Oh my gracious, y'all would have, oh my goodness, it was, you remember that old commercial with that dog float up in the air when he eat that dog biscuit? That's about the way I was when I took that bite out of that hamburger. All right, who got their hand up? Nobody? Yeah, Judy, go ahead on, girl.
Well, this is a praise report because you're going all along about the blue skies and no chemtrails. I was driving to Maryville just praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for no chemtrails. And I was just so happy and the weather was so beautiful. And he was with me all day long, helping me get this and that and stuff. And I just want to praise him for being there for me and giving me a safe travel. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Me too, Judy. I was so happy. I went out to Fort Loudoun, and I just skipped along the trail, man. Just me and Jesus. It was awesome. Fort Loudoun is a place where I walk a lot, and they got a trail that I can walk. Pretty easy for me. All right. Anybody got a testimony or a praise report also? Skipping along. Yep, that's what I was doing. Praising God too while I was doing it and talking to some people. Squeak juice for the chair is in order. Y'all can't hear that, can you? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I have a praise report. I looked at the Psalm 119, and I've been studying and praying with it, and it's a really lovely study on YouTube. There were a few familiar verses, but kind of really shook me up a bit. Now the Lord's working on stuff in my life and helping me a lot. And I just thank him a lot for it.
Yeah, David's got a teaching on Psalms 119 somewhere. I forget what it is. Maybe Julie remembers, but I miss it. Go ahead, Dominique.
Okay. So I remember, I'm sure you remember, we prayed for my friend Jeff, Michael.
Yeah.
So he's been participating in our fellowship a lot more and been reading scripture and everything. And, you know, he's definitely learning. So that's just a praise report real quick. He's doing really good. And, you know, he's been asking questions and, you know, not really taking my word for it, which is a good thing. I don't want him to take my word for it. I want him to check the word of God. And, you know, he has been. He actually has been reading and, you know, participating. And it's been real nice. Hopefully I can get him joined in this fellowship sometime soon. So.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, just a quick praise report. That's all.
That's good. Thank you, Dominic.
Yes. Thank you, so God.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, God. Go ahead, Joe.
Morning, everybody. On Friday during the afternoon, just after that, the Lord gave me my healing for my hip, just confessing the word. And it's a bit of a struggle on Thursday, but Friday was tipped up. It's complete healing. Thank you, Father.
Okay. What did he say, Jimmy? Sorry, Joe.
He said he struggled a little bit. He was confessing the word over his healing for his hip, and God manifested it on Friday. Joe, right? Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for my interpreter. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Pretty soon I'll be talking like them all down there. And
I'm telling you.
Maybe in my spirit language anyway.
Amen.
Hey, Andrew, I just want to confirm you were listening to that teaching, Grace to Walk in the Word on our YouTube channel?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Five parts to it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Grace, five. It is five. Yeah. Grace to Walk in the World, the Word. Grace to Walk in the World, too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, for you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to repent in front of y'all. I spoke with Lana and the devil just loves to distract me. I mean, it's always something, you know, and the Lord has been guiding my thoughts and my intuition, I guess you could call it. Well, it's the Holy Spirit talking to me, and with regards to all the news and all that supposedly good news of what's coming and what's not coming, and false hope, right? The hopium that's being spread around, and it's just been really heavy on my heart, and it takes away from time with the Lord, and it takes away your time. It doesn't matter what it is. It's always something. And lately it's been the Charlie Ward videos and a lot of that Telegram stuff that keeps popping up, and you bite on it. I fish a lot, but I hit all the wrong lures, you know? And so I just wanted to repent in front of you all and ask that you pray for me. And I've renounced all that. I've left all those groups, and I've got rid of all the news junkiness, and it doesn't lead to anything good. It just distracts and takes away your time. Even if it's supposedly something good, something to look forward to, but it's all earthly anyway. And it's not our world. It's not something we could take part in anyway down the road. Still not of the Lord. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not Christ in us that they're preaching, you know? So.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, I bind up that news junkie spirit, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. And I command it to go out of this whole fellowship. I command it to go out of my life. And Lord, I know that you told me to cut way back, and I have. But it seems as though people want to send me things, and I take a look at it, and boom, like Phil said, we're lured in again. But Lord, I just thank you for taking it away from all of us. Only thing we need to do, Lord, as you've told us before, is look to you for the news. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in Phil's heart to remind us all, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be the news that could abuse a brother or sister. It could be many other things too, you know. So there could be other things there that could have a tendency of working its way in because you overindulged in things. So I'm just saying that it could be other stuff too, you know. So it's just all the flesh, and the Lord does come and rescue you, and give you a diligence and a straight mindedness about things. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just thinking what you were sharing there and praying about things people sending and then getting sucked into. I just came to think of Smith Wigglesworth. Lester Sumrall had been told, you know, drop by. So he did when he was out traveling. Guess it was in the UK. And first time he went to Smith's house, so don't know if they had doorbells in those days, but knocked on the door, and Smith came and opened, and he looked at Lester and he said, "What's that under your arm?" "Oh, it's a newspaper." And Smith Wigglesworth said, "Throw it away." He wouldn't allow anything else in his house but the Bible.
Something, yeah, I remember that story.
It's a good story. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, it is. That's a good story. Don't bring that junk in my house.
Yeah.
Amen. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Pat.
It was a couple things. Number one and foremost, my sink is still not leaking. So praise the Lord. And that, believe it or not, that is smoking some things out of my life as far as making confession of what he has done in his name. So I appreciate that. I praise the Lord for that. Because he's using this time in our lives to, Theo was just kind of pointing it out to a certain degree. I know David's been basically the whole concept is that God is raising up a beast kingdom to come against his church, even in this time when there has been this tremendous opposition coming up against the church, and thinking back in the Old Testament in various different Sennacherib scenario and everything, when this beast arises, that's when all the naysayers come out. That's when all the people come out and whether it's being happening by fear or anxiety or anger or self-control. I'm going to keep control of my own thing here, and I'm not going to give up or whatever. I'm going to fight this thing through. And it's bringing all these things to the surface in us. And not only is it, I always tend to go towards myself, look at myself first type thing, but that whole influence is bringing people out of the darkness in the apostate church and the faction, bringing the faction to the surface, so to speak. Well, it's doing the same thing within us. It's purifying those hiding places that the flesh would use to throw bar, the devil would use to manipulate us through different things in our own life, in our own soul, shall we say. And so these are good things that are popping up, because obviously you handle them the same way, just like Theo handled it. Confess your faults before your brethren, pray one for another that we may be healed, and God cleanses us. If we confess our sins one to another, it's putting it out, it's getting it out of us, and Jesus is accepting that as forgiveness, giving us forgiveness, and most important, or just as important, cleansing, and bringing that cleansing word through us and allowing us to stand confident. I had an experience today. This morning I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I hate it when I do that. It was one of these fears that happens at the job. Don't have my act together. I'm falling behind. And it always seems to point back on me. You know, I'm not pulling my weight. I'm not doing good enough. I'm not. And it piles on and piles on and keeps going. And I finally just had to get out of bed, woke up, took a shower, come down, got on my knees, on my face before God, and start praying and throwing this stuff out to him, tossing it out to him again, and then casting the devil down and claiming the truth, the grace that God gives us to face the foes in his strength. and trust him for the outcome. And just like every other time, the dominoes fell before me as I went to work, and everything fell, all the pieces fell together and you know, came together. And it was just an overcoming type of thing, a spirit that kind of came through the day. But it doesn't happen. That doesn't happen if it doesn't come up out of you. If that fear or that anxiety doesn't come up, you got to get it up and get it out, you know, type of thing. I just thought I would praise the Lord for his deliverance, trust him to continue to guide us all through the process. And I learned a long time ago that God uses, he has one purpose for us, and that's to create the character of Christ in us, to recreate that, to make that exchange, as we've all learned later, exactly what's happening. But to view all of the circumstances that come in our life or those things that are in our life that are opposing us as God's hand in the tool belt and chiseling that those rough edges off, or putting the pressure on us to get us to cry out to him and to focus on him and seek him. Through that whole process, washes us and cleanses us and brings out that life of Christ in us. So just praise the Lord for his process that he uses in our life to bring his life out in us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Well, all right. What are we supposed to talk about tonight? Greg suggested. Greg suggested something. He said tonight's question, should Christians be forced to accept the doctrine of free will, or do we have a choice? Okay, who's first? All right, Dominique, go ahead, brother.
I was just wondering if maybe we could talk about how to surrender things to God, and like, obviously we have to confess our faith, but it seems like, you know, I've been confessing it as much as I can, but it still seems like I'm going backwards. So I just don't know how to exactly to just completely surrender it to him. Like, I speak it, but I feel like I'm not fully surrendering it to him, and I can't seem to find anything in the Bible that explains how to completely surrender it. So I don't know if there's like an action, or is it just something that we have to continue to confess until it's there? I don't know, but I'm just trying to surrender a bunch to God, and I just can't seem to fully surrender it. So that's what I was just wondering about.
David has a fine teaching. Go ahead, Missy. Let's see if she comes up with the same thing. Go ahead, Missy.
Dominic, it's just grace. You can't surrender. You got to ask the Lord to give you the grace to surrender, and you just rest and you let him do it. It's that simple. Plus reading the word and in the word, and you know, that's always part of it, but.
Okay. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, Michael, I just got on, so sorry about that, but I was just talking with Tanya, my daughter, and she's doing better to some extent. I didn't know that I had been sending David's messages, David and yours messages to her. I didn't know until tonight that she's been starting to listen to them, which is a good thing. But there was an incident that happened this morning that I'm going to pray about, if that's okay.
Sure.
Lord, I see that she's wanting to follow you and she's wanting to do your will. I know there's still some bitterness and hardness in her heart. I pray against that bitterness and hardness. I know that that's because of some of the situations that she's had to deal with. Lord, I just pray, and I prayed against those demons. I command those demons all to leave her and the rest of the family alone, that they have to go from her. They have to go from that household in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray you give her that grace and mercy to be able to handle the situation with Bernie, recognizing that she would recognize that unless he changes his heart and his mind, that he will not be with you in the end if whenever his time is to come. So Lord, we just pray that he would turn his heart to you, that you would break up the fallow ground of his heart, woo him and draw him by your spirit. Bind up those evil spirits that are hindering him from really hearing and seeing the truth. Help him to be set free so that when ones do come to him to minister to him, that he would be able to receive, and that he would be able to receive your truth in his life and life in his heart with soft ground, soft heart. Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Tanya. I pray that she continue to follow after you. Follow the leading of your spirit and not do what not go the wrong way, but stay going the right way. Give her the strength, give her the wisdom, help her to hear from you and to follow after you. And this whole situation that she dealt with this morning, I pray, Father God, that that charges would be dropped, that there would not be any problems with that. That she would not have to go to court over any kind of assault charges, which sounds like it was a minor thing, but the policemen have had to deal with them before. And so I just pray that you take care of that whole matter, that she won't have to go to court, won't have to have any fines or anything, and that those charges would be dropped in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, didn't we pray for Willie the last week?
Well, we prayed for Bernie. Yeah.
Bernie. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He was starting to grab at her this morning, and he wouldn't let go of her, and she tried to get him away from her, and she ended up, she called the police because she had a hard time dealing with him, and they put assault charges on both of them. And it wasn't like anything major like the last time, but she was kind of distraught with that. But she is wanting to do what's right, but she's just tired of dealing with the pressures of dealing with him. And she said that she listened to one of the messages and he listened with her, but then he was saying, this is not right, that's not right. And so she's really, Lord, strengthen our Lord in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, but it's been, the prayers that y'all have been praying has been really helping her, even though, because I noticed the difference from talking with her last time, you know, so I know that the prayers are helping. So I told her that I brought you guys up to her about her situation, and she says, tell them to keep praying. So she's okay. Thankful for the prayers.
Amen. Well, let's do it then. Let's pray again. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift this couple up to you, and we break the power of Satan in that house, the power of the spirit of divisiveness, of faction. We command you to go from there.
Amen.
Lord, we're going to break the power of anger, frustration, confusion, fear out of that whole household right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I break the power, complete power of Satan over that family right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I declare and decree that both of them are coming into the kingdom. Lord, I ask and I pray that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody that they would listen to.
Amen.
Immediately. And that they would come into the kingdom together. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're going to believe. This whole bunch is going to believe that we're going Amen. To hear the good report and you're going to get the glory, Lord, because Amen. You're the one that does it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, yes. Father, for granting repentance to both of them.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father, for doing yes. that for both of them.
She's been more open. I mean, she said some things tonight that I've not heard her say before. She repented of some things that I never even asked her to repent over. She said I was stupid for doing this and that, and, you know, and she says she's been praying in tongues and she's been, you know, just drawing closer to the Lord. And she knows there's some things in her life she shouldn't do. And she doesn't want to go there. She doesn't want to lose her salvation. And so there, I've just from 1 week, I see the difference. That's why, you know, I wanted to give you that report. So
awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? It's done deal. So now we just rest, right? Yeah, Missy.
I want to add a prayer for Tanya in particular, but it applies to both. Lord, show them both, especially Tanya, since she is wanting to seek you. Lord, remind her over and over that her wrestling is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and rulers of darkness. Show her. Teach her, Lord, how to swing her sword and fight the enemy, the spirits that are operating in Bernie and not Bernie himself, Lord. And that she do whatever she has to do to walk away from him. And even in the midst of that, bring it, you know, if she ever has anything like that happen again, Lord, tell her to use Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Take your hands off me. In Jesus' name, I forbid you to do this to me, you know, and just not to fight, but let your word and your spirit fight for her, because those spirits must obey. We thank you, Lord, for helping her to see this, Lord, and strengthening her to put on the whole armor of God, to put you on, Lord, to put your word on, to just be strengthened, Lord, through your spirit and our inward man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's a good prayer. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Tanya. Okay, Malcolm.
This is a different topic. It's like a prayer request or just something to bring up to pray about. My parents are both 90, and without most of the family's consent, they, or even input, they went and got vaccinated with the COVID-19 experimental vaccine. So, of course, we all have studied into this plenty, and enough that when I heard that, I was quite concerned. And, of course, the only remedy is God's intervention here, so... Anyway, I want to continue to believe in the prayers that I've had for them and for family salvation, household salvation. Because if everybody just keels over and dies and doesn't come to repentance and whatnot, then there's a problem. So anyway, I'm just I don't want to be double-minded about this. I just read a lot about what the vaccine does to people. So. Especially at their age, so fragile, you know. So, Michael, do you want to pray about that?
If you'd like for me to, yeah, I will.
Yeah.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Malcolm does have household salvation promised to him. He's already prayed the prayer of faith for both of them, Lord, and we ask and we pray if this is their time that they would, that you would send somebody to them, that they would repent and come to you, Lord, in a mighty way. And we thank you, Lord, that they have, that you're going to do that for both his parents, his mother and his dad. and that both of them, he'll see them both in heaven, because we believe that. We believe what your word says. And we're going to pray, Lord, that if this is not their time, that you neutralize that vaccine in the name of Jesus. But if it is, Lord, and you're going to bring them on home, thank you for bringing them home, Lord, just like your word says, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Michael.
Yep. All right, Tim.
Sorry, I'm late also. excuse me. I'd like to pray for my brother-in-law. He found out just the other day that he's got a melanoma going on, plus prostate cancer, and their doctors seem to think that it might be into the bone as well. And he just he used to be a believer, and he backslid, and I don't know, he might still believe, but he's not living a Christian lifestyle right now. But I'd just like to pray for a couple of things about him and have you all agree with me. For first of all, his name's Kerry, and Lord, we'd like you to deliver him of this cancer. He's too young to be dealing with this. We cast the spirit of cancer off of him. But more importantly, that you would use this to bring him back to where he used to be, where he loves you and wants to serve you and believe and live the lifestyle that you would have him live, and bring his family back in as well. They've just drifted away from the Lord, and they were Christians way before I was, and they were on fire for the Lord at one time, but it doesn't seem to be that way now. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing him back, using this for your glory, and healing him. He's got many years left in him, and they have a special needs daughter that's still at home that they're taking care of. So they need to be around. So we just we pray for Kerry to be healed of this cancer. And when he goes to the doctors, they'll say, hey, sorry, dude, we wasted your time. There's nothing going on here. So we believe that. And we thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That cancer's gone, and they're going. And Lord, I ask that you make it known to Gary that this is you doing it, and he needs to come back and repent and come back into you in a mighty way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm going to believe that that's what you're doing right now with him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Woo! Lord, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Lana. That's a done deal, Tim.
I just wanted to add on to my husband's confession earlier. After that discussion, previous to that, I had been suffering with some symptoms and didn't have the faith to stand against them. And since I had that discussion with Theo, the symptoms have lessened considerably, where I'm more or less myself these days. And so I just praise the Lord for his forgiveness and the repentance he put on my heart, and set me free of such heaviness as well. And I just ask that you guys stand in faith with me, that I'll be free completely of these symptoms, and the Lord continue to pour out his grace and do his mighty work in us.
Amen. I believe it. I believe everybody here does too. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God that we all are delivered from that old news junkie spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it. Go ahead, David. How today, you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Okay, awesome.
Praise God. I have a praise report. Today was a very interesting day at work.
Glory to God.
The lead technician was not there. And there was, and the second technician wasn't there either. So it was me and a different guy. And the other guy had his own job to do. So they gave me a walkie-talkie, and they pushed all the projects on me. And they're like, okay, well, fill the shoes of the lead technician. And I'm like, but I've only been working here for 3 weeks. I was like, how am I gonna do this? And praise God, he gave me wisdom, and it felt like I've been working there for years. And it was
thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God forevermore. We praise you, Father, for doing that for David and Alina in Jesus' name. Lord, we know it's nobody but you that's done it. And he just gave you the glory. And we thank you, Father, that this ain't the stopping point. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. That's a good testimony. All right, Jenny. Jenny. What's your name?
Go ahead. Thank you. I would like to pray too. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of your love and your mercy and your grace, Father. I lift up Tim's brother-in-law, Carrie, to you, Lord, and I pray your blessing upon him. Heavenly Father, that you would grant him repentance, whatever has caused him to backslide, fall away from you, whatever lie the enemy's planted in his mind, in his heart, whatever seed the enemy has stolen, whether it be through, you know, some kind of religious spirit or a hurt, or he just got let down somewhere, he wasn't walking, he was walking by sight, or whatever it was that caused him, Lord, to turn away from you, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus that you grant this man the ability to see where he was wrong, see where he needs you, and to turn to you with all of his heart, Father, and that you meet him there just like you do with every prodigal son of yours, Father, that you're there with open arms, that you show him how much that you love him and that he is forgiven. And Lord, I pray you bring the right people in his life and separate those who have who may be corrupting what good is there, what the truth is there, Father. And I pray you give him a love for the truth and receptive to anything our brother Tim has to say to him or anybody else who has the truth of the gospel in them, Lord, that he'd be receptive, Lord, to hearing the good news of his salvation and what he really has in Christ. I praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And I also lift up to you Malcolm's parents and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of our family members, Lord, who are just deceived by the lies that are coming through the mainstream media and whoever it is they're listening to that makes them think that they need this. Father, that we pray for your grace that they not get drawn into that deception, that they not take it, that you would work in their hearts, Father, to not take this vaccine. And those who have taken it, Lord, we do cover them in the blood of Jesus and pray for your mercy, your grace, and that as Michael prayed, Lord, that it's just nullified. It's just nothing, that you neutralize whatever harmful things, poisons that have come into their bodies. It will not have that harmful effect on their lives. And I just thank you, Lord, that those who are taking it, whether they've taken their first dosage and waiting for their second dosage, Lord, that never comes to them, Lord, that they never take the next dosage that they're recommended to take, Father, and that you just bring an end to all of this deception, and you do it quickly, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Dave. Have a hard day at the office. All right. Now, what was it that somebody said they wanted to talk about?
Dominic and also Greg. But Dominic had something. Well, we pray for Dominic right now that you would give him the grace to understand if he's puzzled or uncertain on things, that you would show him, Father, your grace and how grace works through faith, and that you would minister that to him, Father. Just thank you, God.
Amen. And I'll tell you another good one is sabbatismal rest, resting in the Lord. to know that he's doing the job. That's what the faith that we do. We just sit back and let the Lord do it, knowing that he's working in us, because it's God's faith that we're using to work us through these things. It's not that we're believing in God's faith. God's in us. In his, he got his faith in us doing the work. It's already done. So that's what we, that's what we're doing. We're allowing God to work it out in us. And our job is to rebuke the devourer when he comes around. Just rebuke him. And like Missy said, stay in the word. Stay in the word. That's a good thing. Anybody else want to add to it? Yeah, Julie.
I guess I would just add that, you know, our surrender is it's an everyday thing. We die every day. We have to surrender whatever it is that, you know, we're dealing with, struggling with, or in doubt about, or whatever, and just keep bringing it to the Lord and laying it at his feet and asking for his help to even to surrender it. You know, if it's a sin, or if it's, you know, just something you're struggling with in your walk, whatever it is, you know, just to ask God to help you give it to you, or give it to him rather, give it to him, and to take the burden from your heart. And, you know, it's, you know, we're all growing and we're all at different places in our faith. But, you know, faith is just believing what God says over whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever it is you're believing for. And, you know, there's the prayers of agreement. There's the prayers of faith, and then the prayer of what is that word?
Importunity.
That's the word. Thank you, guys. All. Yeah, it's a prayer of importunity, and until you just keep praying about something until you come into that place of, okay, I've given it and I'm done. I know it's done. I know it's done. God has it, and I don't have to think about it anymore. And just to keep surrendering whatever it is until you come to that place of, okay, I know it's true. I know it's done. Help me rest, Father. And it is all his grace. We can't do it ourselves. There's a lot of great teachings on faith and on the website. And so whatever it is, Lord, just lead Dominic to that teaching and show him what it is that he needs to hear. Thank you, Father. Amen.
I'm on. Is he in here now? Dominic? Yeah. Okay. Dominic, listen to this now. This is a prayer that I wrote down that I pray morning, every morning. I've started again doing it. So I confess that I am surrendered to the purposes of God, and I daily consecrate myself to God to do what he wants, and to live a life that's pleasing to him. My flesh may try to wage war against this consecration, but I take authority over my flesh and I tell it what to do. My body does not control me. Instead, I control it, using it as my instrument to do whatever God asks me to do. Every day when I awake, I renew my consecration and personal commitment to serve God with all my heart. I am his completely, and I will obey whatever his spirit prompts me to do. And I declare this by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And that's what I pray every morning. And that, what that does, that puts that memory stamp in your brain, that when that enemy comes around, you rebuke him. You're able to rebuke it. That's just one other way. Another way that we can use is to pray that consecration prayer and believe it. Anybody else? Yes, Julie.
One other thing that helps me, Dominic. I don't know what your issue is, but you know, the enemy is coming at me a lot of times and has been with just doubt and uncertainty about things. And I mean, therefore I had to bind that thing every day and several times a day. I would bind that demon of doubt and rebuke it and command it to go, or unbelief or uncertainty or whatever it is. And then I'd be able to focus more on what it is I needed to listen to or needed to do or needed to pray or whatever it was, but that thing would just harass me. So, you know, whatever it is, you got that authority to bind whatever it is that the Lord's showing you to bind up and get rid of. You know, you have the authority to bind it and cast it out, and it will obey you.
Paul talks about the prayer of importunity. There's two or three times in the New Testament it talks about the prayer of importunity. You just have to do a word search on it. It's in there. I always like to go by the prayer of faith myself. And that's just me. Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
And I agree with exactly with what you're saying, Michael. I have, and I have to admit that I struggle over that, and I wish I didn't. And I believe the Lord's working that out in me. But what I have found that I have had to do, maybe it's more in the sense or in the terms of maybe importunity or something like that. But I find that it's helpful for me if I anchor down on a specific scripture, kind of to localize it or focus it on a specific thing. And I think David speaks about that a little bit better. I mean, to a certain degree, that 11:24? Whatsoever you pray, asking, believing that you have received it, or all things that you pray, that sort of thing. It's kind of a catch-all, catches a lot of, like the shotgun, you know, scattering and catching a lot of. Things there. And I find that is very helpful. However, sometimes I have to focus in on a specific thing because I guess, I don't know. I just said, that's the way I am. I was thinking in terms of that kind of a foundation point. An interesting thing I've been reading in the Numeric New Testament, I'd like to bring up something maybe a little later as a question that kind of popped up and hit me as I was reading that scripture. But this one, I would like to read this as per...
Is this about prayer? Because I've got something else I'd like to say about prayer, if that's all right, then I'll get right back to you.
Sure.
Okay. Dominic, there's three types of prayer. David teaches about this. I don't know which one it's in, but there's three types of prayer. The first one is the prayer of importunity. That's where you pray and you keep praying until you get the faith to believe what you're praying is coming to pass. That's the prayer of importunity. There was a great man of God years ago, G.V. Blevins, I believe his name is. The book's on the site. And that's what he did. He'd go hole up in a hollow log. This was years ago. He'd go hole up in a hollow log, and while he was praying for whatever it was he was praying for, and he'd ask the Lord to feed him, and the Lord would send the squirrels with acorns out there to drop them in the hole. This is one time. And they'd feed him, you know, and he'd eat them acorns. Now, how the man could stomach the acorns, I don't know, because I've tasted them. They ain't that good. But anyway, that's what happened. And but he got his prayers answered after he would pray and pray and pray, and he got to release in his spirit that his prayer was answered. He knew that he could go down there and evangelize or do whatever it is that he was praying about. That's the prayer of importunity. The next one is the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is when you just pray, just like Pat quoted Mark 11:24, when you pray and you believe what you prayed, you're going to receive it. You shall have it, it says. In other words, when you pray, you just believe that you've already received it and you're going to have it. That's the quickest way. But, you know, all of them go to the same final outcome, and that's God answers your prayer. And then the most effective prayer is the prayer of I just thought about it. I can't think of the name of it, but it's when everybody agreement. Comes together.
Agreement.
Agreement. Agreement. Prayer of, yeah. Thank you very much. I knew that. Anyway, yeah. That's when everybody comes together and they agree in prayer that's what's going to happen. We all agree that prayer is answered. And guess what? It gets answered. That's the most powerful prayer right there. So that's the three of them in a nutshell. David has a teaching, and I don't even know which one it's in, but I know that I've heard that teaching before on it, and it's not that long. Anyway, I thought I'd just clarify that there's three types of praying, and there we go. Anybody got any comments on that?
And the prayer of agreement is two or more.
Yes.
So even two.
And guess who the second one can be? The second one can be God. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
We want to pray for our daughter, Victory, and have the prayer of agreement here for. She has a pending court date, and this thing's been going on for 2 years, and it keeps getting postponed. Every time she goes, it's postponed. It's postponed or continued. So she wants to get it over with. It would hinder her ability to move to Tennessee, for one, which she's praying about, because she'd have to go back for this court date all the time. It'd be impractical, that long of a drive. So I think it's this week sometime. I'm not sure. But Father, we pray right now, Father, that you would free her from this obligation, Lord. I know she's going to be cleared of it. And we just feel sure of that. We're confident of that. So we just pray that it would end, that the lawyers that quit dragging it on for whatever reason, if it's for financial, for themselves, or we don't know what the reason is, Father, but we pray and agree that this would be settled. And she'd be freed from it. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that your angels, we loose your angels right now to go and put favor in the lawyers, the judges, and everyone who's concerned there to set Victory free in Jesus' name, where she can claim the victory in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Victory's coming to Tennessee with a smile on her face and a skip in her walk, because she belongs to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Mm-hmm. Me too. That's a prayer of agreement already answered. Victory, pack your bags. Time to come to Tennessee. Amen.
I believe it, because God gave me a dream 2 mornings ago. I had a dream that she was here among us, and we were somewhere, kind of like a Indian boundary type thing, you know. Maybe it was a pot blessing or something. It was just free time and it was a fun time. And she was here, and I saw Victory and I saw Jonah and kind of saw the little kids. It was just kind of obscure in a way, you know. But Jonah's kind of really getting pretty heavy, but he looks smaller. Victory looked smaller, and kind of to my side was, I saw that David was there and kind of observing them, for whatever that means. I don't know, and then other people were just busy going here and there, and she was ready to put the kids in a wagon and take them for a walk, and it was just like, it just seemed so real. But I felt like that I'm looking smaller. The flesh, you know, that God's really working on them. And Jonah's just 8, but he's a very defiant little boy. And we've been praying for God to, you know, give him a different spirit, you know, and that he would know to put down that flesh, to obey his mom and be defiant and obey his teachers. And so I just saw that in the dream with both of them. So, yeah, he's going to answer that prayer and they are going to be here. So thank God for that.
Amen. I believe it. Lord, just as soon as that boy crosses Tennessee line, that spirit has to go out of him, because we declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. That boy's going to be sweet as honey when he gets here. In Jesus' name. I get another kid in my repertoire of kids here. Amen. How many she got? She got 2 of them, didn't she? 3. Okay. All right. That's great. Awesome. I can see that trailer filling up. I'm talking about the tractor trailer, not your trailer. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Sue or Judy.
Hey, it's me now this time.
Okay.
My cousin just texted me and she asked me to pray hard and ask God to help her, that she has a dog named Gunner that's 11 years old that she's going to have to maybe put down tomorrow morning. And she, you know, she loves her dog. And she also texted me last night to pray for him about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was praying in the spirit. And this is so cool. All of a sudden I saw Jesus kneeling with her and the dog. I could see the back of Jesus. He had one hand on Gunner and one hand on Bev. And I just thought that was so cool, Lord. Just you're with her. But anyhow, she would like, you know, she really loves, you know, the dog, and she's just having struggle with that. She just wants help, that God will help her, give her strength and give her understanding, and just be with her when they do this tomorrow.
Was the dog, when you saw it in the vision, what was the dog doing?
Laying down, like laying down on the floor. That's what he's been doing, laying on the floor. And she's been laying beside him. And the Lord just put the hands on both of them.
Okay. Did the dog jump up?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see anything else. It just kind of disappeared.
Okay.
But I thought that. Ahead.
Huh?
I just thought that was so cool, because I knew that he was with her. And she even texted me back and said she felt his presence. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So Lord, we just lift up Bev to you. We ask you that you be with her in this time tomorrow and tonight. Put your arms around her. Let her know that you love her and that you're with her and you'll never leave her or forsake her. Let her, give her strength. Give her the peace and understanding of this, and just give Gunner a peaceful transition that he's going to maybe be in heaven with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I thank everybody for praying and agreeing with me.
Does she believe that that dog will live?
She's a great believer in God. I mean, I think she believes there's animals in heaven. I'm not sure.
Let me tell you a little story. Buddy Oliver backed a 1.5-ton truck over his dog. Wow. He loved that little dog. And he called me. He said, "Michael, I just run over my dog." And we prayed. And the next morning, this was evening, the next morning, he called me. He said, "You ain't going to believe what happened." I said, "What happened, buddy?" He said, "My dog's back." Said he was waiting at the door on me this morning when I got up. So God can do anything, can't he, Judy?
Yes, I know he can.
Do you want us to pray for that dog's?
Okay, healing? Yes. Yes, let's just do that too.
Well, Lord, I don't believe that you showed that vision to Judy for nothing. I believe, Lord, that you're showing her that you're there. And whatever we pray, that's what you're going to do. And amen. I thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus right now, I command Gunner to be healed. Amen. In Jesus' name, I command whatever's wrong with him to be healed. That spirit of infirmity, you go from him in Jesus' name. And that ain't nothing for Jesus to do to heal right. that dog. Gunner, you get up and you be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to get the glory. And yeah. When Bev calls her tomorrow to tell her that Gunner, there's nothing wrong with him, mm-hmm. that she's going to say, God healed my dog. Jesus healed my dog. And that's exactly right, because we believe that you're going to do that, that you've already done it in Jesus' name, because we know that you answer our prayers. Gunner, get up off of that bed of affliction and start walking around and wagging your tail in Jesus' Amen. Name and crying for a biscuit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And I know she'll believe it too, if that when the Lord does that. I know
okay, she'll believe it. Everybody believe that.
Yep, Amen. I believe Amen. It.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it too. We're going to hear the testimony from Beverly. You tell her when she calls you, she said, you got to come on the conference call to give that testimony.
Okay, Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
All right, it's done. Okay, Malcolm. Oh, he's trying to run back to the microphone.
I don't even know what I raised my hand for. I'm sure it was the board. Okay. I've been typing in here, time for Gunner to man the guns, or to dog the guns. Anyway, I just agree with you in prayer. Gunner's Amen. Healed.
Gunner's healed. Thank you, Jesus. What is that, Greg?
Well, maybe that's why he put his head up.
Yeah, it's time, ain't it? It's time. He said, boy, get up and go to the bathroom. Thank you, Lord. All right, Missy, go ahead. What? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, what y'all want to talk about? We got two or three subjects. It's too much silly gas. Well, you got too much gas. That's right. All right. Who's next? What y'all want to talk about tonight? I've got a subject, but I want y'all to come up with one. If you've got one. A good one now. Not a hard one. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, this isn't a question, but I just can't quite get this out of my heart. When David was given his testimony a minute ago, mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if he had more to give or not, but if not, I want to pray a blessing over David. And I also want to know if they got milk for Adelina, because we prayed that Saturday night. And so anyway, I'd like to get because we've been continuing to stand and pray for Adelina that they'd be able to get milk to the stores and she would have that. But Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you that you divinely orchestrated this situation for David. And I believe, Father, for his family, Father, I believe that you orchestrated it to show him favor and to encourage him in the trials that he's been in. And Lord, I'm just believing that you're going to show him real favor on his job, that he's going to be recognized for the ability that you are giving him, the wisdom, the grace, the knowledge, to do really well there on his job. And Father, not even just in the natural, but in the spirit as well, that he is just going to shine brightly, that those that are around him know that he is full of the faith and the love of Christ. And Lord, I'm just praying an outpouring of a shower of blessing on David and Alina. And I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon them. Do you have a response, David? Did you have something you want to say?
Well, we found out a couple days ago is that my boss has a farm and his wife takes care of the farm, and every week they will sell us 2 gallons of milk and 2 dozens of eggs.
Praise God.
Oh my, ain't God good? He's so good. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My goodness. My. Lord, I just thank you so much for answering prayers. It is so awesome to see you do this, Lord, for all of our brothers and sisters. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm.
I just wanted to mention, I forget, was it the grandson of, that we were just, I'm trying to blow up my screen here so I can remember who's, is it Den? Is it Brother Pensky? I'm sorry, I'm not very good with names. Anyway, is it their grandson that was, kind of being rebellious, whatnot?
Yes, Jonah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonah. Yeah, when I was small, I was quite a handful for my parents, and so they were on a camping trip and they just picked me up from a camp, a kind of a junior type camp they'd sent me on. I'd had a great time, but they said I was really, really rebellious. I'd gotten a really bad attitude there. Well, they prayed for me, and they said there's immediate change. I was a totally different person after they prayed for me. It just really, my mother keeps reminding me of that story. So anyway, I'm a living testimony that God does that. We all know he does, but anyway.
Yeah.
Amen, Michael. Did your dad have a hot shot?
What's that?
Oh, okay. Never mind. I better not explain that one. Sorry. That's a cow prod.
Oh. No, they used other implements. No.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer.
No, I was not exactly abused of all.
Amen.
Malcolm, why don't you pray for Jonah? We'll agree with you. Malcolm?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. I said, why don't you pray?
I'm sorry. I another call coming on another phone line. What was that again?
Oh, pray for Jonah and we'll agree with you.
Okay. Lord, I thank you that you have a great job for Jonah coming up, even now. And I just pray, Lord, that he be delivered of the spirit. We command that spirit to go, that spirit of rebellion and lack of respect. Whatever the cause of that, we just, we come against all those things and we command that Jonah be
totally set free of the spirit, and that you will, that you grant, we thank you, Lord, for giving him respect for his parents, and also a quiet spirit, humble spirit before them. And I thank you, Lord, as you help his parents to help him continue in that way of being quiet and humble before you. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Amen. We believe with you, Malcolm. Amen. Yes, we agree with little Theo also. Thank you, Lord, that you're quieting him down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And we also pray that for Elisha in Jesus' name also, and Obadiah in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all these little children. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
You keep mentioning the hot shot, and funny thing is, so I'm the oldest of 12 kids, and when I was a kid, my dad brought one of those home.
Oh, bless his heart.
And it was a joke for a long time, but I guess he bought it for a friend up in Canada. But he had the same mentality as you do regarding that hot shot, so it was a joke for a while.
Well, you know what it is, then. Praise the Lord. Yep. A hot shot. Does everybody not know what a hot shot is? It's a long rod about this long. It's a lot of times it's made out of fiberglass or plastic. It could be made out of steel, but it has a little button on the end of it, two buttons on the end of it, and it's got a bunch of batteries in it, and it's a shocker. It's like a taser, but it just shocks the cattle to move them along in the stalls or in the line to keep them going. Anyway, that's what a cattle prod is.
Weren't you going to bring those, you know, here into the group once in a while?
I need to. Yeah, cattle prod. Hot shots, what we called them when I was a kid. I've been stung by them, and they don't feel good. It's kind of like getting hit by a spark plug. Oh, man, I'm going to break your neck. Anyway, all right, anybody else? Yeah, electric shock. Anyone else got something they want to talk about? How's it going, Dave? You doing okay?
Good.
Huh? All right. Nobody got a subject. I got one. Check the chat here. Yeah. Okay. Mark 10 and 15. Mark 10 and 15, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." The kingdom of God. That's what I want, what the question is. What is four questions involved in this particular verse. What is the kingdom of God? Number one, what does it mean to enter the kingdom of God? Number three, is this too fast for y'all? Y'all getting this down? Number three, what does it mean to receive the kingdom of God? And number four, what does it mean to receive it as a little child? What is the kingdom of God? We'll tackle that first. Anybody want to hazard a guess? What is the kingdom of God? Anybody? Yes, Julie.
The kingdom of God would be his presence, his blessings, the gifts, the benefits, everything that God promises. The kingdom of God is our home. It's our inheritance. It's Jesus, you know. The kingdom of God is the word. It's all that he is. It's everything he promises us.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I always like to have a word thrown at me because I try to look up what these words mean in a dictionary, and that dictionary is the New Testament. And wherever the word kingdom is, there's little pieces of the definition spiritually. Jesus ran into those rich merchants there. I know you all know the story. And he told them that the kingdom's not here or there, something as you can see, because the kingdom is within you. And in another place, when a manifestation of Christ happens, it's the kingdom is nigh you. So really, if you have a concordance and you look up the word kingdom, you can see what its definition is by just going through all the words. And we all know about the law of first mention. So you can look it up in the Old Testament where it's first mentioned in the Bible. And I think even in the New Testament, and you can see what he's referring to. But the definition is really in the Bible for almost every word that you would have in the dictionary. You're not going to get what Jesus said there to the rich merchants in the dictionary, of course.
Amen. You got another word. Yeah, Missy.
The kingdom of God is where God rules and reigns.
Amen. That's a simple answer.
Something that I'll give Andrew partial credit. Something he said triggered that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to add to it? Or can you add to it? I think Judy's fixing to enlighten us here with some wisdom.
We both agree on this one.
Christ in us. The kingdom of God is Christ in us.
Hope of glory.
Hope of glory.
Okay. Kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Amen. Denny, what do you think? I always like to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
Hey, amen, brother. Amen. Trill words never spoken. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Judy.
Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. So it's a spiritual place. It's a spiritual, not just a place, but it's where God is. It's where he dwells. It's our dwelling place.
Amen. Could it be also, and just to expound on what you all have said, that it's the spiritual state in which the life of God of heaven is made accessible to man? Same thing.
Say that again, Michael.
Well, I knew you was going to ask that. Why would you ask me that for?
Please. Please.
Okay, let me thank you. It's the spiritual state in which the life of God of heaven up there is made accessible to us, to man. The spiritual life of God is made accessible to us. Christ in us, just like you were talking about. But it's just a fancy way of saying the same thing. But it's made accessible to us. We can either enter into it or not. Yeah, Dominique.
So, like, I guess the way I was seeing it is like a, I think somebody said it exactly like how I was going to say it, but just a little add on to it, like, cool. Wherever God reigns fully, and like we can give power to the enemy at times. So I guess if the kingdom of God is within you, that means you're not giving any power to any enemy. And God has the full power in you. Kind of like how a king can give land to, you know, like lords in small places, but the king owns all of it. I guess if you're just giving God fully the credit and all the power, that would be where the kingdom of God is, because he's fully in you and there's no credit to anybody else but him. I guess that would be the way I was kind of looking at it.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
I forgot all what I was going to say. when the disciples came, the Lord said, ask, you know, and asked them, you know, asked him, teach us how to pray. And he, you know, he went on to say, you know, pray unto your, our Father, you know, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's, you know, what's in heaven, how do things operate in heaven? And, oh, thank you. That was the other thing. Thank you, Lord. The other thing I was thinking of, what Jesus said, that he told his disciples, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So it's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Is it the same? Or is it, when you talk about the kingdom of God, that's where he is and that's where he rules and sits, you know, he sits in heaven and our hearts to be, you know, his throne. So, you know, that's where the kingdom of God is to rule and reign from our heart. But is it the same as the kingdom of heaven? I just want to throw that question in there. Is it the same? Thank you.
Not that I know of, no. Let me see here right quick. No, I don't guess. I don't know. You want to raise your hand? Go ahead. You got something you want to say? Go ahead. Dave.
I was just looking for it earlier. I haven't been able to find it in a while, so.
I don't know.
Dave? Quickly, I'll show you. On the bottom where it says reactions, it says records, share screen. If you hit the little reactions button.
Yeah. Oh, they changed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't participants. Oh, I got it. All right. Thanks. Need these Zoom gurus to help us out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, what is the kingdom is in relation to the Mark 10 and 15, and which is, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So that's kind of in relation to what we're talking about. It's that spiritual state. It's that Christ in us. It's kingdom come down to us for access. If that makes a lot of sense, it does to me. And the things that y'all have said are true also. Anybody else on what is the kingdom? I think you're all right. What does it mean to enter the kingdom? What does it mean to enter the kingdom? Come on, man. Y'all know. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, you enter the kingdom when he calls you. Right? And then you grow up in the kingdom.
Okay.
That's what happened at Pentecost too.
Okay, but was that the fulfillment of it? Go ahead, Julie. I know what you're saying, Andrew, and you're right.
Entering the kingdom is a lot of things. I think, you know, you enter it in faith, believing that it's existing, even though you don't see it. So it's learning to walk by faith and trusting and believing God, learning to have a relationship with our Father and with the Lord, and learning what it is, learning what our inheritance is. It's a lot of discovery. It's a lot of new stuff, and we're all supposed to start out there, you know, and as children. Well, we won't go there yet, but go in there, and it's learning. It's a spiritual place as opposed to what we have lived all our life and, you know, seeing and feeling and hearing and in the natural.
Go ahead, Joe.
In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
Born of water and what?
Spirit.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Theo, or Lana, I'm sorry.
I think we enter the kingdom when we are born again, to enter a new place of to live means a change, a lifestyle, and every other aspect that it affects. And so it is with entering the kingdom when our spiritual life, it begins anew. We are born again, as Joe was saying, of the water and the spirit, and we start to walk in Christ. And that's just the beginning. It goes from there.
Water and the spirit. Amen. Yes, Andrew.
I guess it would be the fulfillment of God's word in us.
Surrendered, right?
Yep. And that's what Jesus said. He fulfilled the law in us.
Amen. Yes, Marilyn.
Okay.
And also the scripture that came to my mind was, the kingdom cometh with violence, and the violent take it by force. And it's that kind of puzzling in there with what Lana was saying and Joe, that, you know, it's just the Holy Spirit working in you.
Bingo.
The Lord drawing you. You want to start talking to the Lord. You want to start being in the Word. You know, the Lord just drawing you. That ministry of the Holy Spirit, enlightening the eyes of your understanding, and teaching you, and helping you, and, you know, teaching you how to fight. teaching you, you know, how important it is to be in the Word, so that, you know, you've got the scriptures, you've got your sword, you've got your armor. And so that's all.
Well, that's exactly right. The Holy Spirit in the kingdom equips us to be in the kingdom, right? He equips us to overcome. He equips us and leads us through the Word. He does all the work for us. That's part of being, what does it mean to enter the kingdom? Is to enter surrendered to Him and allow Him to teach us and do the things that He wants us to do. Anybody else? That's good, Marilyn. Thank you. That's good for everybody. Everybody has good answer. Anybody else? You had your hand up, Dave? A while ago? No? Okay.
I was just kind of thinking about what does it mean to enter the kingdom, but there's the faith that you're entered it when you actually are, you know, like we know we've been born by the water and the Word, but there's also the actual manifestation of it. Mm-hmm. So the manifestation is what we're actually looking for. Until that point, it's all by faith.
Amen. This whole walk is by faith, isn't it? All by walk. Before Pentecost, they didn't have the power to overcome, did they? They didn't have the power to do it. They didn't have the power to love God, or the way He calls love, and that's obey Him. But after Pentecost is when the kingdom was entered. Because of Pentecost, we could enter in and do the work of God, right? Yeah, Judy or Sue, one of y'all.
Repentance and belief in Christ. Repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus.
Okay. Amen. Be baptized. Amen. All right. Yeah, I like that, Greg. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's the power of God and God's people. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
So, were the disciples in Jesus' disciples in the kingdom of God before Pentecost?
Yeah. Yes, they were. But they couldn't overcome until after Pentecost, could they?
So they, I'm thinking your question was how to enter into the kingdom of God, but
fully. Yeah.
By manifestation.
As a little child. Remember what the verse is, Mark, what was it? Mark 10 and 15. Mm. Yeah. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And you receive everything in little child by faith. Go ahead, Andrew.
So you can see how when you're trying to explain even a single word to a person who's in the world, he will not take any of these definitions here at all. And it's just, they're totally oblivious to it. And even some people in the church might not know a lot of it. You know, to put a good example to that is, you would have a real little child, they'll know they're Canadian or American at a certain age. But sometimes the child knows that there's a kingdom of heaven, but he doesn't have enough expounding on it yet and enough practice with it. You know, David had to, the King David had to face a bear and a lion and a giant, Goliath. So that's good examples of kingdoms from the past in the Old Testament too. So anyway.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
In the Gospels, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to do things in the kingdom. He referred to them, he referred to them as his disciples. He called them also children. And then he called the 12 his apostles. So, you know, that was in 3.5 years. So, but he taught them what the kingdom of heaven was, and he sent them out and told them to do this. And, you know, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have you received, freely give. So he was teaching them that. And I don't know how long they walked with him before he sent them out, but, you know, he was teaching them the whole time. But he, like I said, he called them children. He referred to them as his children. And in 1 John, or even in the Gospels of John too, I think he refers to us, the reader, as little children. And that's just something that was coming to my mind.
Amen. Amen. But they did not understand Jesus while he was here. They was constantly scratching their head. What in the world is he talking about? You know, they were constantly doing that. They didn't understand, even when he got crucified, what that meant until after Pentecost. And when Jesus came back and told them, you go on to Jerusalem. Go up there and pray for a little bit, and the Holy Spirit will come. Yeah, Julie, you got something?
Yeah, there's just a lot of things you read in the Gospels that the disciples didn't understand a lot of things, and, you know, they were hidden from them yet. You know, they were too big for them to understand it. You know, it was just beyond what they were able to comprehend or apprehend, but it wasn't until, like you said, after he had been, after things happened, and then the Holy Spirit would quicken them to remember, or, you know, that this is what happened, or this is why that was, and they remembered the scriptures. And yeah, so there's a lot of things were hidden from them, just as they're hidden from us too, until we mature, we grow, or we go through something, and then we go through a trial or whatever, and then the Lord will show us later what that was about and why it happened, or why you went through it, or what that means, you know, in context of what a scripture says. Because it's all a growth thing. We have to start out as little kids.
Yep. Children. It's a growth process. Yes, ma'am. I sure will. Go ahead, Pat.
I was reading that verse again and I think what Julie mentioned a while back is, I think it is significant. At least I was thinking of the same thing. It says, amen, amen, I say unto you, except ye turn and become as the little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And it doesn't actually say the kingdom of God there. Well, obviously, I think we infer that kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. But it specifically says, shall not enter into the kingdom of the heavens, or into that realm of the air. And so I haven't put it all together. It's keying in my mind as something significant there. and something like a little children being a child being brought into a new environment that they're unable, that they're now aware that they have to learn how to navigate in this new environment. And I guess I'm thinking more in terms of that as a bit different than the kingdom of God or the authority of God or whatever. But anyway, I just thought I'd toss it.
Amen. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, it was just a couple things. The kingdom of God, you have to enter here on earth. And when you're circumcised of heart, you enter that kingdom by faith, and you grow and you to be an overcomer to enter into and abide in Christ, so that when the time comes to rule and reign, you're there to rule and reign in the kingdom at the end. So it's a lifelong process, but also it's a paradox. When you come in, you know, when you're in the world, you think of things in a certain way, and then come into the kingdom and you realize it's, you know, the weak will be strong, and the you have to end your life to live in the kingdom. You have to put to death the old man to raise up the new man. So there's a lot of paradox in the kingdom, that you have to overcome the old and come into the new. And that's that whole sanctification process and understanding the difference between the old and the new. It's very complicated.
Okay. All right, anyone else? I believe that the Holy Spirit is imperative to entering into the kingdom and bearing fruit. More than just 30-fold. I believe that. I believe you have to walk with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Surrender yourself to the Lord. Because when you do that, you start maturing. When you surrender and you get in the Word, and you study the Word, and you allow the Lord to teach you the Word. Okay. No one else. Well, what does it mean to enter the kingdom? According to Mark 10:15, as a little child, as a little baby. Well, shall we get into the next phase of that? What does it mean to receive the kingdom? What does it mean to receive the kingdom? Now, everybody knows that everything that we do in the kingdom of God is by faith, right? What does it mean to receive the kingdom? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, you made a statement there, you know, to receive the kingdom is to believe, receive it by faith. You believe um, you just believe what God's word says, you know, because his word tells you what the kingdom is. So you just believe yes. everything that his word says.
So receiving is actually a passive thing. It's not an active thing, right? You're receiving the kingdom mm-hmm. by faith. You're right. Doesn't that imply that question itself even implies there's one who gives and one who receives, right? Go ahead, Lana.
Would it mean to lay claim on the benefits of the kingdom?
Good, yes, because you're receiving. Absolutely. All right, Dave.
That's kind of where I was at with Lana, is basically that would be part of it, is getting the promises in the scriptures. When you start receiving the promises by faith and acting on that faith, and you receive it, that is part of receiving the kingdom of God. That's what the promises are.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
But even in fellowship with other people, you can walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sins. In mere fellowship, you can actually be a better kingdom person. You will receive something even just through fellowship. Like, and fellowshipping with the Lord when you study the word, but you know, even in here, you know, people could be enlightened with the kingdom, because there is kingdom people here, and we're here to help each other. And that's what we've been doing for a very long time today, is praying for needs and stuff, and bragging on the Lord even.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I was just trying to suss out this receive bit in, you know, just going through some of the things in Strong's there where the word appears, particularly in regards to that verse. I'm looking at it this way. It's kind of like if I was to post mail and it was put in someone's letterbox, have they received it? Well, kind of yes and no, but it's been put in their letterbox. However, if I was to send something that needs to be signed for, then it's like, you know, I'm signing for that. I'm taking that. That's how I'm kind of, you know, looking at, I don't know what it says in the Greek anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of like, I assume it, with, you know, I would describe it as the difference between, oh, I'm going to try praying for that, or knowing that you're, you know, you have kingdom authority, you've received it. So therefore, I'm going to pray for that, and it's a done deal.
Amen.
I yield to Julie.
Go ahead, Benny.
It also incorporates this physical life. We live at planet Earth because, you know, we have a love and a care one for another that's expressed. You know, if someone else is looking on and they see those people over there, and they, you know, that's the kingdom of God. It's like, because we have that love for one another, it sort of includes the physical life here. Like, church is the kingdom.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking about the prodigal son example that we have, where it was both the firstborn and you know, the secondborn sons, and the father gave them both their inheritance at the same time. He gave them both the opportunity, you know, but the one took it, and you know what he did. He left and he squandered it all on worldly things and stuff. And anyhow, it's like when Jesus came and he brought the kingdom there, he brought this new covenant of grace to his people, and some of them received it and some of them didn't. you know, because of their, you know, there's just things that hindered them from, you know, their religiosity, their pride, their traditions, all these things that kept them from receiving what God was giving to them. It's like, you don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to do it this way. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to do everything this way. It's like, it's yours. So it's just, you know, there's a lot of things that could hinder us from receiving what God brought us, what he gave us. This is what I was thinking about.
Amen. Well, we can continue this. Now, Thursday night is our, I think, our worship night, isn't it? Praise and worship night. So get your songs and send them to me, and I'll write them down and have them ready for you Thursday night. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for all the great answers that was given. Gives us a little more understanding of the kingdom of heaven, what it is to enter and what it is to receive, and the difference. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for being with us the next few days, protecting us, guiding us. She'll give us dreams and visions about the things to come. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us and for answering our prayers, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. And I just love you, Lord. And I know my brothers and sisters do also. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all a good night's sleep tonight. And thank you, Lord, that Gunner's up and ready to go play. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, all right, y'all. Y'all.